Hello and welcome to Radio Linguistica, DGT's knowledge sharing radio broadcast, exploring themes and topics that are relevant to our everyday work. We have the great pleasure of welcoming today Maria Jevuska Waligora.
Hello.
Maria, you're head of unit D1 in DGT, which is our terminology coordination unit. Thank you very much for accepting our invitation.
Thank you very much for inviting me. So hello, everybody. Good morning.
First, a few words about you, Maria. What is your nationality?
Well, I'm Polish, and I graduated from applied linguistics, so not very far from our core business. But my first job was with EU affairs in an office which is now part of Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Warsaw, and our main goal was to prepare Poland as in the scope of the big wave of accessions among the 10 other countries for accession. And at that time, I was deputy director of the translation department, and we dealt with the translating the backlog, the acquis communautaire, into Polish, so that at the moment when we become fully fledged member state, that we have all that's needed. Of course, only the translations, and which prove not to be perfect, as the translators discovered later on, but that's probably because of the key things like time and experience and terminology, which we know now when we're working with things.
Absolutely. Okay, so you've been dealing with translation and terminology for a very long time then.
Yes. But then when I came to Luxembourg, I joined the Court of Auditors, and there I was working with more of project management things, in HR. And after next 7 years, I joined DGT, but not the terminology unit, so not the core business, but R3, so IT unit, where I worked as Euromis project manager, and then as head of architecture and analysis sector. Must say these were very nice years, and R3 is a wonderful place to work in. And I moved to D1 just before the lockdown. So I managed to have just a few weeks with the unit members, and then the lockdown happened.
Oh, wow.
So it was a challenge.
Quite an experience. Yeah, I can imagine. Now, Maria, as a translator in DGT, I've had, you know, close contacts with my terminologists in my language departments, but I never really directly had contact with your unit, the terminology coordination unit. So I wasn't really aware of the work that you are doing, you know, behind the scenes to assist us, you know, the translators and the terminologists in DGT. So here is an opportunity to know more about your units, you know, what you do and how you help us in our everyday work in DGT. So first, can you tell us about your team? How many are you in your team?
Before I tell you about these details, I wanted really to chip in and to tell you how bad and how much you have missed not knowing about D1. So D1 is a very small unit, and we are around 11. I say around because we've got rota people coming and going, so the number is not fixed.
And rota people, you mean rotation people, huh? People who come for 6 months.
They're seconded, and we are having now, for example, a Dutch terminologist who has joined us for 6 months, and she's the only member of the unit who is based in Brussels. Therefore, now we have become Trans-Ardennes, but before we were completely based in Luxembourg. And most of the unit is composed of terminology coordinators, so linguists, usually with a past as terminologists, but not necessarily. And who prepare terminology, who coordinate with the terminologists in the language departments the job that has to be done, and also mm-hmm. on the outside, so with other institutions.
Right. What would you say is the main aim or the main objective of the terminology coordination unit?
Bland if I say coordination? Well, you said it. It's in the name.
Yeah.
It's in the name, so it's coordination. It comes from the fact that actually the terminologists are, for me, from my point of view, they are dispersed. Mm-hmm, they are far mm-hmm. away. They're not with me. Mm-hmm. So if they're not with me, they are somewhere else with somebody else. So mm-hmm. so they're actually all over their language departments. Of course, they feel part of the language department, but the job they are doing, they are serving their translators, but they're also filling in and working on terminology projects which are prepared by my unit. Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm. So they are working like for us and for them. Mm-hmm, so it's mm-hmm. difficult, and to be able to make sure that we are all going in the same direction, that we do understand the job to be done and the problems that are coming up. Also, we inform the terminologists and also all the linguists that are interested. We also inform them regularly about the new updates and the tools they are using. Mm-hmm. So this is about coordination, I think, having a network of people that you can meet and you have to meet, that you inform, that but you get also feedback from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember one of the terminology board meetings when we asked quite a lot of questions, and as the board is very big, because it counts often more than 80 people at the same time,
right.
Then it's very difficult to have a tour de table. It's kind of not feasible at all.
Yeah, it would last the whole day. Yeah.
Yeah. And then usually there are always people who are more like prone or ready to give answers, and the others are always silent and somewhere. So you wouldn't get the whole, scope of replies. So we did arrange for running little mini surveys during the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And to our great satisfaction, people were very active, and they were really looking forward informal meetings discussing various topics and so on. So I think we grew from a certain change before the COVID and the lockdown. The unit used to meet for terminology board meetings separately mm-hmm. in Luxembourg and in Brussels, which actually wasn't maybe the best, because of course it was in vivo and there were the elements of, you know, of getting close to people and mm-hmm. this kind of bonding and social relations, but then it contributed to a gap between mm-hmm. a community mm-hmm. in Brussels and a community in Luxembourg. So actually, COVID and the lockdown and the VC finally, it's a very good thing, because now the whole community meets together, and mm-hmm. the questions are, you know, if we take a decision, we really take it together.
Okay.
So I find that was really beneficial finally.
And this is within what you call the terminology board, which is I think it's every 2 months that you meet. With all
yes.
all the terminologists from all the language departments, huh?
Yes.
That right?
So
okay.
Yes. So it's mm-hmm. It's a meeting that we hold pretty regularly, at least every 2 months
uh-huh.
During the year, and we have always some ongoing matters that are tackled, some IOBs. We try to keep up, inform other people about. People who are changing, coming in, leaving
right.
for all kinds of reasons. We know there mm-hmm. is a kind of big turnover in DGT, so mm-hmm. that's nice about people going on pension or being replaced and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But there is always a part that we talk about the tools.
Mm-hmm.
So new releases in IATA, in the new modules, what has changed, training
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
So that stuff is very important. And as you say, we invite the primary people who are invited are the terminologists and language departments. But as we know, there are two FTEs, so like let's say two people per language department who should be involved in terminology. Mm-hmm, so one is full time, and the other is to the is depending on the language department, whether they are like in rota or half time or
yes
or whatever. And often trainees are also invited if the trainees are involved in terminology, special guests, all kinds of people. And I think it's a good forum for exchanging, and the minutes can be found on our collaborative space.
Which I looked for the other day, so we can find the collaborative space on your web page on DGTNet. It's on the right hand side, it says collaborative space, and then you click on it and then you have all the information about your unit. And you were talking about terminology projects, and I understand that some of these projects are compulsory, a set of terms that terminologists have to work on in each language department, and then you have terminology projects that are non-mandatory. Is that correct? So you have two types of projects. Is that how you work?
Yes. Actually, the magic 950 terms, the number, is an annual quota by which we try to enrich our terminology database, IATA, to make sure that they have a full coverage in all the official languages. And as you can easily imagine, sometimes, the choice we do, we're trying to make them the most relevant and the most important or the most difficult from the incoming document. So we are launching the terminology project as we go. So as the documents come in translation, they're being analyzed, checked, And terms are being picked out and proposed to terminologists to fill them in, research them and fill them in with their language equivalents during the whole year. They have a year to complete the project. Of course, it is nice if they keep up with the pace of launching of the projects, because then they don't have a big backlog. But we also know that they are very often busy with other things like help desking, helping the translators solving some burning issues or some other whatever activity they're doing. So they're kind of free to decide when they will finish their projects. I hope this will change also because there is a new module in IATA which is precisely for managing terminology projects, and it has been fully deployed only somewhere around May this year. So it's a fresh thing, and it's being now put into practice and tested. So there it will be possible to see the percentage of, let's say, accomplishment or or
achievement.
The progress, let's say, on the projects from different languages. So this will be helpful, I think, for them and for us as well. So the monitoring of the progress will be easier and will be natural.
I see.
Because it will come directly from the database.
Right. I see.
Because you asked also about the non-mandatory
projects. Exactly. Yes.
So we know the mandatory, so they are compulsory, and these are the 950. And and usually it happens that all the language departments manage by the end of the year. So it's a doable quota. Now, all the others, we can say, well, they also come from the same documents, but they are considered non-core. So something that is an offer that are considered interesting. And if the terminologist or the translator manages to find equivalents to put them in, then the better. Because, of course, It's nice, it's an offer that can be used. Yeah. So the records are created and equivalents can be added. However, they are not mandatory, so not compulsory, and nobody is going to chase anybody for not doing them at the end of the year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And now you work in Yate also with people outside GGT. Huh? So you have a whole set or a whole network of collaborators outside GGT with other EU institutions and even institutions outside the EU world. So how do you collaborate with these other institutions?
Okay, so as you said, there is this the world of inter-institutional context, mm-hmm. and there is this external world, which is a second, let's say, a second
circle.
Step outside.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, you have three circles. Huh? You have the GGT circle, then the EU circle, and then the non-EU circle. Huh? Yeah,
yeah. That's pretty much, I think, the case for many many things in the institutions. So starting from the middle circle, because we have already talked about GGT for the moment, well, we know that we put terminology and we use terminology out of Yate, so that's the common repository, the database for terminology, and it is shared among institutions. So it's already a place where all the institutions work, where we can share what we do with them. It is managed by the tool manager who is based in CDT, so the Centre de Traduction, so it's an agency, and they have also a technical team of developers. How do we go about this, about developing Yate? We have, every 2 months we have Yate management group meeting, which is more of a strategic type and high-level discussions. So the tool manager reports on the progress and asks about the priorities and about the money, and we take decisions whether this is good or not and so on. However, the nitty-gritty technical stuff happens at the level of Yate Task Force, which also meets at least every 2 months. And it is there that people like members of D1, they are there very active and paying attention to functionalities that are being developed, tested, to the feedback, to what the other institutions need. It is very important to be active there, to pay attention, because this is how we make sure that the functionalities which are deployed, that they suit us. And of course, the other institutions pay the same attention, that they are happy and that they go along their way of working. So, so that's the interinstitutional thing. There are also other subgroups and working groups and constellations, let's say, of more or less the same people who meet in different fora to work on various things. As an example, there is a cleanup task force, and from this year it is being chaired by Rita, who is in D1. So the commission is chairing the task force. There is also a inter-institutional coordinators group who meet to discuss things. Also the handbook, which is also chaired by the commission. And there are some groups are coming up and going. Some are more inter-institutional or are led by the OP. There is a Eurovoc working group. So it's a very vast, let's say, array of activities.
Yes. So that's I can imagine, because Yate is the largest terminology database in the world, you know, with 2 million terms. So I can imagine that it's a lot of work to also to clean it up, because I think we inherit from the past, from a time when maybe terminology was not as strict and as regulated or thought out as it is today. Yeah?
I mean, we all have the problem of legacy data. When I can make a actually maybe a parallel with Euromiss. It's a little bit like this. Like in the past, we used to save everything to Euromiss because every segment was bringing added value. So it was about the volume, the amount. Now, with the amount of data we have, we are trying to play with filters, with things so that we get the best hits out of the whole mess. So so it's now we are looking for more targeted replies.
Yes.
So the same goes for Yata. We have a lot of data there. Well, we can always talk about whether how it was pulled together in the past, whether the decisions were good or wrong. We are there with what we have. Now, how to make sure that the translators who will use the plugins and in Studio and get directly the information from Yata, that they get what they want and not that the number of hits, for example, is overwhelming for them and it's and finally they lose time. So that's the aim. Of course, it's a utopian thing because with the number of, I think there was some years ago, there was a project which was launched about how we could, it was an external consultancy, how possibly we could put the terms together, the concepts into an arborescence, or a kind of hierarchical, semantical links together with them, and to put them together into classifications. And so the machine would suggest which of the concepts are, like, I don't know, either wrongly put or of bad quality or whatever. I don't know. This didn't prove successful at all. There were too many errors and everything. But what I wanted to say is about that the trial, the test thing was only with one domain. And it took quite some time. And they calculated that if we continued on the same pace with semi-automatic help, it would take like 6 years or something. So
it's
that's
huge.
I'm saying it's utopian because we do clean up every time that we come up with a project, because we have a look at the domain, we download, we look at it, we check, we delete, we merge, and so on. So there is always this cleaning thing in parallel of the creation, but it's we're just only a bunch of people, so yeah, we can only have hope.
You mentioned the plugin, which is a new feature. At least it was new to me. And so this plugin is something that is it's a functionality that is in Studio, and which allows you to launch a request to Yate directly. It's like a way of communicating directly with Yate when you're translating.
Yes. Yes, you're exactly right. There are two kinds of two plugins, actually. One is the so-called batch plugin. So you can, at the beginning of your work, the translator can send the whole text to Yata and get the hits downloaded in a way, so that when he's working on the text and opening, closing the segments, and then they're marked, and there is a term recognition window, and he can see what things are contained in Yata and go and check them out. However, during the batch, operation has, well, as always, good and bad sides, because on the one hand, it's good because you've got everything downloaded. So if you have bad bandwidth, internet connection or something, you've got it down, and so it takes some time at the beginning. On the other hand, if there is any progress being done in the meantime, or your other fellow translators are also helping with terminology, and the terminologist is updating Yata, then you won't see it. The thing is, my favorite one is, of course, the Life plugin. The Life doesn't mean it's like 100% Life, because the moment when you query through the plugin Yata, you ask for the current segment plus 9 next. but it's not the whole document. And this is also valid. So it's important in a way that when several translators work together, they can use it, and it's a way of checking also whether there are any new terms. There is also another way of dealing with, for example, of making sure that terminology consistency is preserved when jobs are being split into several translators.
Which and happens a lot.
And that's by the way of term bases, of shared term bases. And this is where we come to terminology extractions and term bases, which can be shared by translators. And this is where they can make sure that they use the same terminology.
Okay. I was saying, you know, that I didn't know about plugins and that, you know, I was informed very recently about it. So as a translator in DGT, how can I stay informed of, you know, all your activities and all these new things that that come up?
Well, we are flooded now by mails of all kinds. So so we've got a newsletter that we come up with, like, every month when the things are happening. So it's more or less 10 issues a year.
Okay.
And you can, there is always a technical part there. So it's not only about, you know, I don't know, blah, blah stuff, a generic thing that we like to share, you know, a social thingy, or somebody did something. But there is always a part that is on technical things, and there is a tip of the month, which is usually, which can be even much longer than all the rest. So it's not like a one-line tip.
Okay.
So the June and the May issues, they have quite an information about the plugins, about the TRM, so the Terminology Projects module, about the cleanup. There are some statistics. And you can find them because, okay, we are sending it, the invitation to read a new newsletter, we are sending it by mail. So if you happen not to be on the mailing list, which is, which might happen, then you
which
are most
no longer my case. I am a subscriber now, but I know that many people are not.
So you can always go to the TC collaborative space, as you have already said, to the right hand side of the DGT net when you open D1. And there on the menu, either up to, the up menu, the above, the horizontal thingy, or the vertical menu, I think it's on the vertical one on the left hand side, you will see a newsletter. And since last year, we have migrated to the EC newsroom. So it's no longer, so we are modern. We are modern, and we are using modern tools. And you are most invited to see. And there you will see the last issue and the previous ones. So so there. And also on the same in the same place, if I may, another thing that is quite lively, and you are invited to subscribe. It's the, our blog, and it's called What's On, and you can have. I think yesterday was the last post. So you are invited to go there and to do the usual thing you do with the blogs in our collaborative spaces. You just hit the bell thing, the alert me.
And you then you get the alert. Ah, nice. Yeah.
And then you get the alerts whenever something is being published. So that. And of course, from time to time, an article on DGTnet, all kinds of minutes. Well, these are for people who are really into it. Because they are looking for information. Was it said? Wasn't it said? That what did we decide on certain things? There is always the easy way of picking the phone or Skype to us, and there is a functional mailbox, the terminology coordination functional mailbox, and we have a rota system on it. So there is always somebody who's looking into it.
Right.
So you're most welcome to contact us on whatever you feel like.
Okay. There is one project. I don't know if you have already mentioned it on your blog or in your newsletter. It's a pilot project which is about a lead terminologist, which will be a bit like a lead translator, but for terminology. And this is something that you want to launch in September. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, actually, well, with pleasure, first of all. And it came out as a, let's say, a byproduct of an idea, and which is around searching for solutions for how to work better, how to serve better the translator, so that the translator has the terminology at hand. Well, this is again utopian, because we know that when the documents for a translation come, the deadlines are often very short.
Yes.
However, we think together in the terminology community that any effort done as early as possible mm-hmm. will be beneficial. Mm-hmm. So, well, the how much we can do depends a lot on this deadline. That's obvious. However, okay, I'll tell the maybe I'll describe the generic idea, which is quite simple. In fact, mm-hmm. is that when the documents come, we would like to know who among the terminologists will have a look at these documents, and who will prepare a good and meaningful terminology extraction mm-hmm. and share it with the others. Mm-hmm. So the key thing is to have early access, and the key thing is to know who is doing the job, and that this job will be done only once and yep. shared mm-hmm. among all the others. Mm-hmm. How do we share terminology extractions? There is an exchange platform mm-hmm. already on, again, TC Collaborative Space.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. it is free for everybody to check out. It's structured a little bit like blog entries. Mm-hmm. So you can also subscribe to that. So mm-hmm. you can then know that a new extraction was posted. And mm-hmm. You are free to download it and to turn it into a term base and to use it for your needs. The idea of the new workflow is that this person that we are talking about, that we know who will do the job, the early job, is what we would like to call a lead terminologist. So mm-hmm. so it's just for clarity reasons. It's not mm-hmm. it's not a big new invention, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. The lead terminologist would work very closely with the lead translator, and so the lead translator would definitely be in charge of what he or she is doing. Mm-hmm. The thing is that we very well know, and it has been confirmed also by the lead translators, that they don't have the time to do terminology extractions and so on. You need mm-hmm. some training, you need to know what to do, where to share it, how to do it swiftly and well, so that it's good and usable, you know, the good practices and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So so terminology world is going to join closer the translation world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. World, so that we provide the terminologists with extractions that mm-hmm. that can be worked on. D1 is going to, on the basis of these extractions, is going to launch terminology projects directly in IATA, in TPM.
Okay.
So that's going to be also a trial period for terminology coordinators and for terminologists to use TPM to find out whether it is user-friendly, whether there are things that need tweaking or not. Yes, and the aim of the pilot project is to simply to test, to see mm-hmm. whether mm-hmm. this is going to work. Mm-hmm. This is not a stress test, so we are not going to put, you know, to direct all the incoming documents of DGT and, you know, start working like mm-hmm. mad. We're going to test it on five packages. Mm-hmm. that we are going to choose, which will be non-SECAM.
Mm-hmm.
So
and you'll and see.
Then, mm-hmm. And then we'll see. We'll have mm-hmm. to write a report on that, get feedback. We are planning plenty of meetings with terminologists to see how they feel about it. We're going to run surveys at the beginning and at the end mm-hmm. to find out also, to ask translators, but to find out whether they thought it was something good. Mm-hmm. And what was their perception also of that? Was it helpful? Was it unhelpful? I think it's a good idea in the end mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to try it out. the thing that is a little bit, of course, is going to consume a lot of our resources is about gathering data, because if you want to assess that the your project or your idea is successful, well, you have to have success criteria. You have to gather data on the mm-hmm. basis of which you will. So it will be a big, big overhead for D1 mm-hmm. To run it, because it's going to be on top of everything that the mm-hmm. unit is doing. Okay. So it's a challenge, but I think we'll manage. Let's stay positive.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So let's see how it goes in September. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Maria, I'm afraid we're getting to the end of our time, to the end of our show. Well, thank you. Thank you again for giving us, you know, an insight into the work of D1 and of the Terminology Coordination Units. And well, I wish you good luck with your projects, and in particular in the short term with your pilot project on lead terminology.
Yes, we will need that definitely. And thank you very much again for this opportunity. It was really a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
And thank you.
Again, you are all invited to visit the collaborative space and have a look. Thank you
very much. Bye, Maria.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This was Radio Linguistica, DGT's knowledge sharing radio broadcast. Thanks to our listeners. We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to send us your comments, ideas, and suggestions at dgt-radio@ec.europa.eu.